slain. Amen. We're coming down the road this morning, and there's a farm just not far from our house, and they have a slew of baby lambs. And there was one of them that was white with a little bit of tan. I said, "Oh, Dan, I got to stop and ask them if they'll let me hold that lamb." That thing was so cute and so precious. And when I was thinking about, you know, worthy is the lamb, but I was also thinking about how he would leave the 99 and go after the one. And I'm thinking, if I think that, how precious I think that lamb is, just think how precious that the Father thinks that we are. Amen. And that he would leave the 99 to go after the one. And, you know, I believe the fact that Jesus can leave the 99 and go after the one is because he knows that the other 99 are in good company and good fellowship. Amen. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I was asking God to open the door. When I worked at the post office, I had this certain lady who was my supervisor, and needless to say, she cussed all the time, and she smoked galore, and she was, you know, you felt uncomfortable around her sometimes because you were, you know what I'm saying. Not that you were better than her, but you just didn't live the same lifestyle. And I always wondered, God, how can I reach this woman? And I would see her off and on, and she was still the same, but the enemy was putting on her really bad arthritis, where her fingers would be all bent and she could hardly walk and everything. Well, about a month or so ago, I was called by a friend and asked if I would call her and talk to her. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. Well, when I did, I found out she had been sick. And during our conversation, I always ask God, the right moment, and what do I say? Because I want what he wants. And so the conversation went that I was able to pray for. So I knew that God had opened her up somewise to the Spirit of God, and I was so thankful. And so a month or so has gone by, and about 2 days ago, I was approached again and told that she had been in the hospital and that she had 6 months to a year to live, that she had lung cancer. And so I said, once again, God, tell me when and give me the right words for her. And I waited a day or so, and last night was the night. And then I went in the room, and I called her, and I said, God, if this isn't the right timing, you just stop it now. Don't let her talk to me, whatever. Well, he opened up the door, and I got her on the phone, and she was talking, so glad that I had called, and she was telling me all of her problems. And I said, I need to speak to you seriously. I said, do you understand that if you leave this world without God? She said, yeah, you go to hell. So I knew God had been dealing with her. Now, this is a woman who was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. So I said, I want to talk to you seriously. I said, you need to give your heart to Jesus, and you need to know where you're going. And I said, you need to accept the Lord as your Savior. And she says, well, I have done that. You know, a lot of people say they accept Jesus, but that doesn't mean there's been a change of heart. So I said, you need to receive him and ask him to forgive your sins and come into your life. And she said, well, you tell me what to say, and I'll say it. Oh, my goodness. God set us both up. And so I did, and she did. And she went on to tell me how much my life had meant to her, how much my calls mean to her, how it lifts her up and encourages her, and that she will continue to thank God for what he did last night. And so I rejoice today because this was a woman that I thought was so difficult, but like Lisa said, he leaves the 99 and he goes for that one. And she was that one that I was able to reach. Thank the Lord. I just thought
appropriate. Amen. He loves the little lambs, doesn't he? Amen. And he gathers them unto himself. Amen. How precious the picture of those lambs were this morning. And right now, the pastures are so green. I was watching them the other day as I went by, and I was just thinking to myself, he leads us beside still waters, and he restores our soul, makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, to lie down in green pastures is a picture of being at rest in a lush and green area. And what a beautiful picture that is of our Lord, and just the relationship that we can have with him. And that's so precious. And so I wanted to share a little bit this morning out of the book of Acts. Again, we've been talking about, well, we kind of started out a series. We did the Spice Girls, and then we did the Village People, and then we did the Rolling Stones, and then we did NSYNC. And I don't know where we're going next, but we're still in NSYNC. So if you don't know what I mean by all those, go back and listen to the story. You'll get it. How many know the Spice Girls showed up at the tomb? Village People were on the road to Emmaus when they had their encounter with Jesus. The Rolling Stones was the people that, you know, came to the tomb of Jesus, and the stone was already rolled away. And NSYNC was all about being in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When we are in sync, not only, I believe that when we are in sync with him, we are in sync with one another. How many know there's a unity? The scripture says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity or in sync or in one accord. But it goes on to say it's like precious ointment that flows from the head of Aaron down to the beard and down even to the hem of the garment. Do you realize that when we come together in unity, in one accord and in sync, it releases an anointing and a fragrance and a flow of the Holy Spirit? Amen. It said it released a flow of fragrance and ointment to the flow and to the hem of the garment of the priest. I mean, when the lady with the issue came to Jesus, she said, if I could just touch what? The hem. I mean, in the hem of that garment was everything that she needed to be made every whit whole. Hallelujah. And we sometimes withhold ourselves from reaching in and trying to grasp hold of. See, the scripture under the old covenant, she was not allowed to touch him because she was considered unclean by the law. By virtue of the law, she was unclean. So she said, if I could just sneak in behind and if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that there's enough anointing and enough power and enough flow just in the very hem of his garment that I could be made whole. How many know sometimes you just got to have one of those days where you just got to go for it? Yeah. Hallelujah. And the scripture said he was being pressed by the crowd, and people were trying to get to him, and people were trying to touch him. And when she reached out and touched him, something connected in the realm of the spirit. I want you to know this morning, there's an anointing that connects you in the realm of the spirit, that when you grab a hold of who he is, there's a virtue that flows out of him that's way more powerful than any uncleanness you have in you. And when you touch the hem of that garment, there is something that happens. There is something that connects. There is something that is released in the realm of the spirit. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus, so much that Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Hallelujah. And I think it's one of those moments again where Jesus just, where they just had to laugh and say, really? Who touched me? Everybody in Galilee and Judea and Samaria, and everybody's trying to touch you. What do you mean, who touched you? I can see the disciples like linebackers trying to protect Jesus from the crowd, you know, because everybody's pushing in. When you got a sickness or an illness or when you need something, you're desperate. Anybody in here ever been desperate for Jesus? There's times when you're desperate that you have to push in with everything that you have, and it doesn't matter what everybody else's opinion is, and it doesn't matter what everybody else's thought in, you are desperate to make connection. And she was so desperate to make connection and everybody in that crowd that they're trying to protect Jesus. And he said, no, somebody touched me. Hallelujah, because I felt virtue flow out of me. How many know there is a virtue that flows from the throne of God, that wherever you might be on a sick bed or in crisis or in despair, that you sometimes got to press on in and push past the crowd and push past the noise and push past everything that would hold you back until you make connection. Hallelujah. And he said, who touched me? And she crouched down on the floor, laying there in guilt, but yet in healing. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to get desperate enough to push through every bit of roadblocks in your way until you let the Holy Spirit do what it needs to do in you. Amen. We talked the other week about being in sync. How many know the disciples were all in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Amen. Everybody say one accord. They were in sync. They were synchronized. How many know a motor has to be synchronized for it to work right? Amen. Have you ever watched any of these things on the Olympics and some of those road teams that are in sync with each other? They are synchronized. A couple of you have? Yeah. To be in sync, to be synchronized. In other words, everything working just like it needs to be. They were all in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, go there and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. How many know that the coming of the Holy Spirit was to endue them with power? Everybody say power. Power. And so, you know, when we're talking about the power of the, how many of the power of the Holy Ghost come, and they were filled with power, they were in sync on the upper room. But here's the thing about it. How many know in that power comes transformation? How many believe that accepting Jesus into your heart, receiving his Spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of those things brings power into your life, brings change, brings transformation? Amen. And so they're in there on the day of Pentecost. Now, 40 days earlier, we saw Peter, who denied the Lord and went and hid out at the tomb, right? He was hiding out behind closed doors when Jesus came and appeared to them. But on the day of Pentecost, after receiving power from on high, how many know Peter stands up and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men are going to dream dreams. Your old men are going to see visions. Peter stands up and says, this is that. And he says, this Jesus, whom you crucified, is alive and well. How many know we see a transformation in Peter? And if ever there's a day that I believe that we need to live out of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen? I always say it like this. Any Star Wars fans in here? Two? Three? May the force be with you, right? You got to understand the power of the force. How many know the Holy Spirit is a force to be reckoned with? But Luke had to figure out how to live out of the force and how to operate in that, in his training as a young Jedi, right? Okay, I lost half of you there. I probably lost some of you with NSYNC and Rolling Stones and Village People, right? Are you with me there? Dan and I's first real date at the theater was to see Star Wars. So now that tells you how old we are, and we will celebrate our 40th anniversary next month. My Obi-Wan Kenobi back there. I was his Leia. He was... Anyway, where was that? Were you Han Solo or are you Luke Skywalker? I don't know. He's my Chewbacca. So if you know Star Wars, right, if you know that. Thank God for 40 years, right? He's a strong man. He's a strong man. But how many know we live out of that realm of the spirit? But we walk not by sight. We walk in the realm of the spirit of, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and I will come to you, and I, my Father, will take up our abode within you. And I don't know about you, there's days that I got to remind myself the power of God that is in me, who I am, who I'm called to be, and the destiny that's put before us. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to stir up the Holy Ghost? You got to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You got to quote the word over yourself. You got to get some praise music on. You got to keep your mind and your heart in tune with what the Lord says. I mean, no, it's easy to hear different voices. And we say this all the time. How is it you can have 100 positive voices speak into your life and one negative voice, and that's the one you give power to? Why do we give power to a negative voice in our life? How many know the most powerful voice in your life is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen? And so they're all in one accord on the day of Pentecost in an upper room. And go ahead and bring up my scripture for me, girls. Jesus told them to go there and wait and tarry. How many know there's 120 in that upper room? I was thinking about yesterday. I was on the lawnmower, and I was thinking. And I was thinking, how many know that Jesus was the greatest rabbi and teacher of all time? Amen. Greatest pastor. How many know pastor means shepherd? Shepherd, pastor. Had the greatest teaching, had the greatest understanding. And yet he had 12 men. On the day of Pentecost, 120 showed up. I don't know about you, but that gives me confidence. That gives me comfort. You know, because sometimes we gather in our smaller numbers because of COVID and all the things that's happened this year. And I believe God is shifting and doing things. But how many know if God can take 12 men and turn the world upside down? What could he do with an assembly this size? What could he do with the assemblies of Morgan County joining together? What can he do with assemblies all over this country that if we ever get a mind to dwell in an upper room and in an upper place in one accord and one spirit and one unity and one mind to allow God to pour into us the power of the Holy Spirit? Trish said something earlier when she spoke up here, and I've said this before. I mean, no, when Jesus, and I'm getting a little bit off track here this morning. That's okay. I got next Sunday to fix it. But anyway, there Jesus shows up at the house of Simon the leper, right? And there's a lady who comes with an alabaster box. And she starts to anoint the feet of Jesus. Now, remember, I'm still talking about living out of our anointing. I'm talking about living out of the Holy Spirit. And she starts to anoint the feet of Jesus. And she starts to pour out, and she's weeping over him. And she's drying his feet with her hair. She's given everything that she has to this man, Jesus. And Simon is there, and he said, if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is that's touching him. And the fact of the matter was, he was a prophet and he did know what kind of woman was touching him. A woman who came to pour out everything that she had. A woman who held nothing back, who took a year's wages and anointed the feet of Jesus. A woman who didn't care about Simon Says or playing the game of Simon Says with some man who had an opinion over who she was in the village. And he said, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was. And he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. I came into your house, And I want to tell you this morning, I don't ever want to come into his house and be the one who didn't wash his feet or did not pour out my tears or pour out my anointing or pour out my spirit on him. He said, I come into your house, you didn't anoint my feet. You didn't pour out, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't even give me hospitality when I came into your house. But she has not ceased since she came in to pour out everything that she has. I'm telling you, there's a people, they're going to realize the value of what's in an alabaster box, and you're not going to come empty waiting to get filled up, but when you get here, the alabaster jar is already full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you got to look through the room and find somebody who needs the anointing poured on, who needs a refreshing, who needs a fragrance, because we sit here and we all have a measure of oil and spice in the house. But if we ever release it, it brings a fragrance. The scripture said it filled the room. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do we have any Spice Girls in the house today? Any of the men in the house? How many know, hallelujah, that there's a fragrance that fills the room? And he said, she has done this unto my burial. She has recognized me as Lord and Savior. She's got the message of the gospel of the finished work while you're still trying to sit around and pick out who should have been the vessel to anoint his feet. She's done got the revelation and gone with it. Hallelujah. And she poured out on him. And here's what I love. Wherever the gospel is preached, this story shall be told. You want to make history? I mean, you know, sometimes those well-behaved people aren't always the one who make history. How many know she had enough strength, and like the woman who came and touched his garment? You know what? I'm just going to go for it today. It might get me in trouble. It might get me thrown out of my church. It might not. I might not have the same best friends anymore, but today I'm going to go for it because there's something inside of me that if I don't pop the cork, I'm not going to be able to contain it anymore, and I'm going to pour out my anointing on him. Hallelujah. I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to anoint him because that's what I came to church for. That's what I came for. How many know I believe there is a generation of people that's not just coming into church and saying, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come fill this thirsting in my soul. How many know we've had a mentality for too long that says, I'm going to come in and just get refilled. Well, where did it leak out? If it didn't leak out on your neighbor who needed Jesus, and if it didn't leak out on somebody who needed healing, and if it didn't leak out on your family or your friends or someone who needed to know about Jesus, hallelujah. It's not that the Holy Spirit leaks out of you through the week and you got to start all over. How many know there's an anointing and a power that fills us up that when we come into the house, it's already there. We don't come in just to get it filled up. And let me tell you, there's been many times I've come in and said, Lord, I need you. I need a refreshing. I need your freshness. I love that. But how powerful it is when we come in and say, Lord, I'm so full of you today, I just don't even know where to go first. Amen. How about if we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, put somebody in my path today that needs to know about Jesus. Lord, give me opportunity in Walmart. Give me opportunity in Gabriel's. Oh, thank you, Jesus. TJ Maxx and Marshall and Ross, somebody needs to know about Jesus. Come on, somebody. You think your mission field has to be in a foreign sea. Can I just tell you, I did a Zoom with Kelvin Mohammed this week. And he said, we have people in here from England, Kenya, Africa, New York. I don't know where all we were. We had people from all over the world in an assembly hearing the message of the gospel through my computer in my living room. Don't tell me you don't know how to witness. Don't tell me you don't know how to reach souls for Jesus. Amen. So we don't come in just to get filled up, and that's okay because we all need that. But how many know we sometimes got to walk out of the house and say, I'm locked and loaded and I'm ready to go. Just bring them on. Where are they? Because if we really understand the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's in us, I'm going to tell you, I can walk down the halls of Whitmire Elementary speaking in tongues. I've prayed many a day. You can say there's no prayer in school if you want to, but I'm still there. We're still there. You can't keep me from praying. Hallelujah. I've said in drills where we have to do active shooter drills with five-year-olds. And prayed, Holy Spirit. I've said in drills where we thought tornadoes were coming through, and I'm sitting holding kids and say, Lord, I rebuke those winds. I rebuke the storm from Whitmire Elementary today, and I pray safety over this place. Come on, Jesus stood up on the winds and the storm, and he said, peace, be still. Winds obey. Hallelujah. The man who created the seas and the stars and the heavens and the skies still knows how to control them, and he still knows your name. That's powerful to me today. Hallelujah. But Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost full of the Holy Spirit, full of the anointing, and he preaches the gospel. I mean, when the law was given on Sinai, 3,000 souls died. 3,000 people were given when the law was given at Sinai because they raised up the golden calf. Remember that? When the new covenant is given through faith and grace, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. How many know if Peter can stand up on the day of Pentecost full of the Holy Ghost, the scripture says 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. 120 people, and now we have 3,120 people. How many know that's how Jesus does math? Hallelujah. When somebody gets up, stands up full of the Spirit and full of boldness and begins to declare the transformation that happened in them. Hallelujah. And it said, the scripture says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And this is what I want you to remember today. But there was four things that happened after that encounter in the day of Pentecost in the upper room. Four things at the end of that chapter says, and they continued steadfast. Everybody said steadfast. That means immovable, unchangeable, immovable. I'm not moving, Sabrina. Come on, somebody. I'm not moving, Brooke. I'm not moving. I'm steadfast in my faith. I'm steadfast in my belief. I'm steadfast in the Holy Spirit. I'm steadfast, Lisa. I'm steadfast. How many know they continued steadfast what? In the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? What message did the apostles, the disciples, have to preach? The last 40 days. The cross. Amen. The message of the cross. This Jesus, whom you crucified, he is alive and well. Amen. And they began to preach the apostles' doctrine. They were continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship. How many know the importance of fellowship? I told you before, I come to church every Sunday during COVID, except one. And Dan and I went away for a weekend. But I will take, and so did Jamie and Chuck and them, but I will take the fellowship, and it's hard to preach to empty pews. Amen. It's more like giving a speech. I just like it better when you all smile at me, okay? I get an occasional amen. Somebody throws up a hand now and then. It helps me preach, okay? There is a power and anointing that happens when we come together in fellowship. It's the same fellows in the same ship. That's what fellowship is, right? When the fellows come together in the same ship, there's a connection. Deep calls to deep. There's an anointing that reveals. There's words of knowledge. There's prophetic words. There's giftings. There's songs. There's worship that happens when we come together in fellowship, right? In breaking of bread, the third one, apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread. In breaking of the bread, we can talk about the bread when Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." How many know breaking of the bread is sharing the body and the blood of Jesus? But there's something that happens even when we break bread in the natural together. Man cannot live by bread alone, right? But women can. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty sure of that. But there's something that happens even when we break bread together in the natural, right? When we have our get together for the kids at the end of this, and at the end of June, we're going to feed them while they're here. Amen? Because kids love to eat. Anybody say amen? I mean, people had all their kids home during COVID. That grocery bill went way up, right? But there's something that happens. If you feed them, they will come, right? If you feed them, they will come. The Lord has laid it on my heart. Listen, guys, last June in the middle of this, whatever was going on, I said, "Lord, I need to know what you're saying. I know what everybody else is saying. There is so much voices and so much noise out there. I need to know what you are saying." And he said to me, "Arise and build." And he took me to the book of Nehemiah, and we've studied the book of Nehemiah for almost a year. Lynn's preached a lot on the roadmap to reformation. He said, "Arise and build." We did some building in the natural with buildings and things like that, our sound room, our roofs and things like that. But another thing he said to me is we need to build families. We need to build relationships. We need to build up our kids. We need to build those things. So this June, we're going to build kids, and we're going to build families, and we're going to build. We have a family movie night coming up May 21st. It's not because you all don't have access to a movie. It's because something happens in fellowship. Amen. And if we ever want anybody to know where we are, I believe we are a city set on a hill, but you're going to have to invite somebody to come and see. Come and see. Amen. We have Johnny Rowlett coming. We have an event for the kids coming. I want to build kids in our community. I want to build family in this community. I see the breakdown and the breaches that are happening around us, but I believe that Jesus is the answer. And I believe when we are in fellowship with people who are like-minded, who have a heart for Jesus, it pulls something out of me and it pulls something out of you. There's something that happens in fellowship, in breaking of bread together. And the last one is prayers. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. How many believe in the power of prayer today? There's something that happens when we are in communication with the Father. How many know prayer is not just about what you want from God? How many know it's just communication? It's having an open line. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'll just say, we'll just have a conversation with the Lord down the road, and I'll say, "Lord, this is just where I am today. And I have no clue." Anybody ever been there? I don't know the answer. I don't know how you want me to navigate this. I don't know where you want me to go. But I trust you. I trust you to get me from here to there. And I know that you're opening doors, and I know you're shifting. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit. Help me to be sensitive to your voice, that I can hear you and that I can know and I can sow a seed in season that will bring forth a fruit, and that I can be sensitive and be an oracle and an instrument, not just to receive today, but Lord, let me be an instrument that is able to pour out and pour into someone else today. Hallelujah. You know, when he talked about giving the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a scripture over, and I'm going to try to hit it real quick, and then we'll go. And if you want more nuggets on this, let me know. But I did a series on this back before, and it is on our podcast, wodchurch.com. But something that the Lord dropped in my heart back some time ago, and it's out of Luke chapter 11. And it says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now listen to this. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Anybody in here like to give good gifts to your children? Yeah. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, when he says this to them, he's talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit. How much more shall your Father give you the Holy Spirit? But he says this to them, if a son, now take notice that a son is asking. If a son asks for bread, and what I want you to notice is this is a parallel of the old covenant and the new covenant, law versus grace. If a son is asking for bread, would we offer him a stone? If Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, I am the true bread. But what I know sometimes is when a son has asked for bread, we have offered them the stone of the law. Amen? They're asking for bread. We've offered the stone of the law. If he asked for a fish, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He talks about the story of Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of hell, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the grave. I mean, it was talking about salvation fish, the Ithacus, the symbol of Christianity is the fish. If he would ask for a fish, would you give him a serpent? I mean, a serpent's just a sign of the fall of man. If you eat of this tree, you will be like God. The serpent's voice comes to tell you you're anything less than what God already said you are. Amen? If he would ask for a fish, would you give him a serpent? The fall, shame, the voice of the serpent. Or if he would ask for an egg, which is new birth, new life, an embryo, would you give him a scorpion, which is the sting of death? I mean, he said, grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? I want to tell you today there are people asking for bread, fish, and eggs. Sound like a good breakfast, doesn't it? Bread, fish, and eggs. I could live on those three things right there. In Jesus' name, I could. Amen. But the opposite of that is serpent, stone, and scorpion. When they said that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, how many know the apostles' doctrine? You need to get this before we go today. The apostles' doctrine was bread, fish, and eggs. Not stone, serpent, or scorpion. And if we're being offered anything other than bread, fish, and eggs, it is not the apostles' doctrine or the message of the finished work. We're preaching law, we're preaching death, shame, all across pulpits in America, and don't realize that we have been ransomed and rescued and saved by the blood of the Lamb, blood-bought, spirit-filled, born again, empowered, righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God through Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You are salt. You are light. You are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, that's the apostles' doctrine. That's bread, fish, and eggs. Anything other than that is stone, serpent, and scorpion. And when they continued steadfast in those things, the scripture said, and they added to the kingdom daily. They added to the kingdom daily. How many know that's our mandate? Is to feed a menu and a banquet that people can come and receive life. Hope. How many are ready for some hope? How many are ready for some good news? How many are ready for some move of the Holy Spirit? When we just release the move of the Holy Spirit in the house and prophetic words come across and the words of knowledge, people are saved, lives are touched, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And our mandate, you know, we sometimes think, well, that's only for the preacher, that's only for this one or that. Do you know that the deposit of he has given every man the measure of faith? And the same Holy Ghost that's in me is the same Holy Ghost that's in you. There is no little Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How much you activate or use it will be up to you. And when you do, you understand the force is strong with this one. Yeah. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Our mandate is not to get a church full of people. It's to get a people full of the Holy Ghost and full of Jesus. Amen. And I'll trade you a church full of people anytime over a people that are full of Jesus. Full of the love of God, full of the anointing. Hallelujah. Does it get hard? Sometimes it does. Does it test the Holy Ghost in you? Sometimes it does. Some days there'll be people testing the Jesus in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray over this assembly today in Jesus' name. Lord, I stir up the Holy Ghost. I stir up the anointing and the power. Father, I pray that you put vessels in our way even this week. Lord, that we can pour out and pour out and pour out. Hallelujah. That people's lives, they're not just touched, but they're changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stir us, God, to reach our community. Stir us to reach our kids. Stir us to reach families, Father. In Jesus' name, help us to put our hand to the plow, Lord, to reap and sow a harvest for the kingdom of God, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, if there be one today on rather live stream or under the sound of my voice, God, that does not know you, Father, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit so saturate their heart right now. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that you would saturate their hearts and their minds. Father, it's as simple as saying, I receive you into my life. Hallelujah. I receive your transformation. I receive the deposit of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this house, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands all over this building. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you'd like to receive him as your personal Savior, I invite you to come up. We'd love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He can fill you with the Holy Spirit today, right where you're standing. Father, whatever it is that you need, whatever you are facing, Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Come on, folks, pray in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The more I